This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
So good to us. I've really had a sense this morning, and it's been coming out already, that as I was preparing, as I've been preparing this message and just, you know, the Holy Spirit has really been impressing on me that He is going to speak very specifically to individuals this morning. So just be open to that. I think it's really important that we come to God, especially when we come around His Word. You know, He's given us the ability to worship, and we've done that this morning, and it's got our eyes on the right place. And be very deliberate about putting everything else aside and saying, God, whatever you want to give me this morning, my heart is wide open. Because I truly believe that He's going to speak, and He's already been speaking to individuals specifically this morning. It's not by chance that you're here, any of you, today. It's not by chance. What a privilege to be here this morning. There are so many in our world, in our lives, that don't even know what they're missing out on. And we have the privilege and the honour of being here and being able to hear Him and see Him and know Him. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, could you open them please to 1 Peter? 1 Peter 1. So it's right near the end. I've been impressed with this. It actually started a couple of weeks ago that the Holy Spirit really started to impress it quite strongly on my spirit about the privilege of knowing Him. And it was that word privilege that just, I've been hearing it so many times in recent weeks. Leonie prayed it in pre-service prayer this morning. What a privilege that we are called children of God. What a privilege that we are His children. Bruce shared last week his second part, the message, The Return of the King, and that was a great series. If you haven't heard it, it's online, ready to go, so have a listen to it. But there was a sentence that he said last week, and he actually got us all to repeat it. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I, think about that for a minute. Put your name in there. Karen, Iris, Lynn, Jean. I am a child of God. That little sentence, I am a child of God. Yeah, I know that. I know I'm a child of God. Stop and think about it. Have a Selah moment. Stop. I know what I'm like. I know me better than you all know me. I never get away from me. I'm with me all the time. But I am right now, right, that word I am, right in this moment, right now, I am a child. Even that word child, I am a child. What does that mean? That means I'm dependent on Him. I'm dependent on Him for everything, and He's a good, good Father. I am a child of God. God, the creator of the universe, the one who holds the stars in place, the one who brings the sun up every morning. Even if you can't see it behind those clouds, it's there. And every night the moon's there. The water of the ocean stays in place because He tells it to. The God of this universe, who holds it all together, I'm His child. You're His child right now, today. God is so good. What a privilege and what an honour. And I want us to consider it today and be very thoughtful about it, because I think sometimes we take it for granted and we can get so caught up in life and in the trials and the tribulations and even the joys and the celebrations and everything, just even the routine, the everydayness, that we don't often stop. This is what even an opportunity that we get to come inside of those doors, close everything else outside, even for just this hour and a half, 2 hours that we're together, quieten everything else down and contemplate the fact that we are children of the living God. Unbelievable. Supernatural. God is good. So that's what led me to 1 Peter. And we're going to read, I'm going to read out, there's probably going to be quite a lot of scripture today. We'll see how you go. I can't help it. It's just in me that I have to, the scripture is just, I've had a few different opinions on that. I had one person many, many years ago critique me, maybe, and the one comment was maybe a bit too much scripture. And I really, for a while, that got to me, and I thought, okay, I've got to just, I can't help it. I'm sorry. And I'm not sorry. I can't help it, so you're going to get it. Because you know what? This says it way better than I could ever say it. And it's going to speak straight to your heart. We're all going to hear the same passage of scripture, but you're going to hear, each of you, I'm believing with all that I am this morning, something so individual that God's got to say to you by his Holy Spirit. So 1 Peter 1, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm going to start at verse 3. And I'm going to try and read the first 12 verses without stopping and interrupting myself. That's my aim. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his great power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him, even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about the gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their message was not for them, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. There is so much in that little passage of scripture, and I would really love to just take each little bit apart, but I don't think we're going to get that far today. But I want to really encourage you. One of my main prayers whenever I get the privilege and the opportunity to be up here and to speak to all of you all at once, my prayer is that I will in some way make you so hungry. I want to tease you a little bit and give you a little taste and say, I've got to go, I need more. That's what the Holy Spirit would say. He doesn't tease us so that we can't get what we're after. He gives us a taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good this morning. And then go home and eat and eat and eat of what he has for you. What a privilege and what an honor that we get to be called the children of God. In verse 12, I want to skip to there straight away because I don't think I'll get there at the end. The Message Bible says this about verse 12. Do you realize how fortunate you are? Angels would have given anything to be in on this. Angels right now are looking at us and saying, I would give anything to be in on that. To be in on what? To be called the children of God. The prophets in the Old Testament, thousands of years ago, were given that message, and not for themselves, but for us. The good news, the gospel, that there is a Saviour. There was a Saviour coming. There was one coming. And people, imagine those prophets in the Old Testament having those words from the Holy Spirit and thinking, this is incredible, somewhere in the future. At some time in history, it's going to be possible for all mankind to be reunited to Christ, to God. How faithful were they? Because they couldn't experience that like we do. They couldn't experience the Holy Spirit 24/7, all of them, all at the same time. Because the sacrifice hadn't been made yet, but they were given that promise. Imagine them sitting back there thousands of years ago saying, God, you're blowing my mind. Are you saying somewhere in the future, in this world, there's going to be opportunity for all mankind to be restored and redeemed to God the Father? They would have given anything to be part of that. And it's not a mistake, church. It's not a mistake that you right now are here sitting in this place today hearing this word from God. Verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy. I actually struggled to really even read past that. It is by his great mercy that we have been saved. You're not sitting here today, I'm not sitting here today because of anything we've done. We are sitting here today because of the mercy of God. And I want to look at that word today. I want to focus in on that word, the mercy of God. What's the difference between mercy and grace? We hear a lot about grace and we have an understanding of grace. And you know, mercy and grace are very similar. This is a very simplistic way of putting it. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Think about that for a minute. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Each one of us deserved to die the death that Jesus died. Each one of us, we talk about justice and we talk about fairness. You never want to, God, you don't ever want to tell God that he's not fair. We have a society and a culture of fairness. What's one of the first things your kids learn how to say? Not fair. Not fair. They got it. I didn't get it. We have this entitlement attitude that seems to be born into us because we were all born in sin. God, it's not fair. It's not fair that, you know, that happened to them, or that's not fair. Why did that happen to me, God? It's not fair. God doesn't work in fairness. He works in justice, and God is a just God. but he bestows and extends great mercy. That's what the cross was. The cross was great mercy. The cross was the Father saying, I am a just God and I will deal in justice. And I love you, so I'm going to extend mercy to you. This is my mercy. This is the way of you not getting what you deserve. I think if we want to think about fairness and what we deserve, we should sit and think about what we deserved. We all deserved. We all sinned. And we're all fallen short of the glory of God. And we all deserve to be separated from him. But he extends his great mercy because God raised Christ from the dead. So this is the difference between mercy and grace. Grace, getting what you don't deserve. So getting a gift. You didn't deserve it, I'll give you that. Grace. And much more. It's a much bigger word. But mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So mercy, I just want to read a few in Thayer's Greek dictionary. Mercy is kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to help them. It's mercy of God toward men, providence, the mercy and clemency of God in providing and offering to men salvation by Christ. So when we read 1 Peter 1 and I get to verse 3, I can't get past that word. I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says it's great mercy. Do you have abundant? Some might say abundant, boundless. Let me give you some other meanings. God's great, abundant, plentiful, copious, ample, profuse, rich, lavish, liberal, generous, bountiful, large, huge, bumper, overflowing, superabundant, infinite, inexhaustible mercy. God's mercy towards us is inexhaustible. One scripture that you all probably can quote off the top of your head, his mercies are new every day. Every day, there's a fresh, abundant, plentiful, copious, ample, profuse, rich, lavish, liberal, generous, bountiful, large, huge, bumper, overflowing, superabundant, infinite, inexhaustible measure of mercy extended towards you and me. Every day. Psalms tells us that grace, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'm walking around, you're walking around, and it's chasing you down. And that's not just for you and me, because it means wherever I go, wherever you go, mercy and grace, mercy and goodness and grace comes with me. So wherever I go, people around about me, what should they be experiencing? That's why it follows us wherever we go, because wherever you or I, wherever our feet go, God goes, and goodness and mercy are hard on our heels for others. This amazing mercy that the Father extended to us was the fact that Jesus came and died, and we have the privilege of being born again. Born again. John Gill, one of the expositors, says, to be born again is opposed to and distinguished from our first birth, when we were conceived and shapen in sin. That's how we were all born. And designs a birth spiritual, holy, and heavenly. That's our new birth. It is signified by being quickened or made alive. So as in a spiritual sense, this is what you and I have, to see and hear and breathe divine things and to live a life of faith and holiness by Christ being formed in our hearts. What sort of mercy is that? That's extended to us, you and I. I really feel like there's someone here, maybe there's more than one today, that just needs to know that God is extending mercy to you. And I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to ones who know him. He keeps extending mercy to you every day. He keeps extending this mercy so that you can sense and see and hear and breathe divine things and live a life of faith and holiness. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 10, between, and you can write that down and maybe have a look at it later, says this, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead, even though you were dead because of your sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." Amazing. Mercy and grace. What a privilege. And verse 7 says this about you and I. "So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast. We are all God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago." Right now, he's preparing us. He wants you to get it today, church. It's that we've heard it in the prophetic word, the word about each light in the house being prepared. Mercy. Have you got an understanding of God's mercy? Because if you don't, how will you extend mercy to others? God is preparing our hearts for ministry. God is preparing our hearts and our lives for his work. He is going to point to you. He's going to use you. Not the person, I don't want you to think about the person sitting next to you or me or Bruce or Lynn or Andre or Bev or any of the leaders. He's going to point to you as an example and say, "There's one." To some in the future ages, "There's one that understood my, that's an example. That's an example of my mercy. That's an example of what a redeemed life looks like." I just want to have a quick look, if we can, at a couple of parables that Jesus told to explain and give a picture of the mercy of God. So Matthew 9 is one of them, and I will just get there. Jesus was very good at parables and pictures and explaining things that way. So let's do that. Matthew 9:9-13, and this is where Jesus calls Matthew. "As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. 'Follow me and be my disciple,' Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with such scum?' When Jesus heard this, he said, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do.' Then he added, 'Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners.'" Sorry, that wasn't a parable. That's actually when he called Matthew. But it's an example, isn't it? Here's mercy, a tax collector. What do the Pharisees call them? Scum. The scum of the earth, the lowlifes, the ones that we don't want to associate with. What are you doing eating with them? They're the ones I came for. The truth is, you're actually all that. All of you are that. You just think you're better than somebody else, but you're not. You're all in the same boat. And that's who I came for. And what outrageous mercy to eat with someone. We take that a bit for granted in our culture. That's a big deal. to sit down at the table and break bread and fellowship and be intimate, eat food with someone. That's what Jesus did. What mercy. He didn't give them what they deserved. They deserved to be told they were rotten scum. But he said, no, that's not, I'm extending mercy. I'm extending love to you. Let's have a look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 23 to 35. This is a parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money for him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Mercy was important to Jesus. Mercy was something he exampled, he extended, and he expected from each one of us. Peter, who wrote 1 Peter, the scripture that we're in, Peter was someone who experienced the great mercy of God. The great mercy of Jesus. Think about Peter. He denies Jesus in the most critical moments of his life. Denies him. Walks away. Runs away. And then we all know, you'll know what happens in the mercy that Jesus, it's mercy that Jesus extends to Peter. Where does Peter end up? Peter ends up preaching the good news. Peter ends up being a powerfully used man of God by the grace and mercy extended to him. Peter got both. He got grace. He got what he didn't deserve. He got a gift he didn't deserve, and he didn't get what he did deserve. How would we have treated that situation? You know, how merciful are we? That's the other thing I want us to consider this morning. Do you understand God's mercy for you and how merciful are you? You know, when we look at that parable of the unforgiving debtor in Matthew 18, we read about the man who refused to give a small debt when he'd been forgiven so much. And we think, oh, that's just what a wicked, wicked man. Wicked, bad. I want you to take a moment right now and consider, is there anyone in your life who you're withholding mercy from? Maybe not over money. Maybe over something they've said or haven't said, something they did to you. We have been forgiven much. We have been extended great mercy. How can we withhold mercy from others? James 2:13 says, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. People say the Bible's hard to understand. It's actually not that hard to understand. That's not that hard to understand. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. I heard a preacher say this, and I'm going to share it. It's actually really true. The Bible isn't what our issue isn't that the Bible's hard to understand. Our issue is actually that we understand it too well. We just don't want to do what it says. So it's not that it's hard to understand. That's not hard. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Over the last two Sundays, Bruce has shared with us about the return of the King. At just the right time, the King of Kings will return in all his glory. At just the right time, when the gospel has been preached to all the world. At just the right time, when every person has heard and been extended the great mercy of God. We are the ones like Peter who have experienced great, abundant, plentiful, copious, ample, profuse, rich, lavish, liberal, generous, bountiful, large, huge, bumper, overflowing, superabundant, infinite, inexhaustible, opulent and prolific grace and mercy. You and I. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Mercy is following us around, church, not just for us, but for those who we come in contact with.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.